40 months, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises Jesus, the son of Mary, peace be upon him, while he is like Urwat ibn Mas'ud al-Thaqafi, and he will defeat Dajjal and destroys him. Again, in some of the narrations, we have plenty of Dajjal. I mean, Dajjal is not a person, but different people are known as Dajjal. So it's again interesting to know that at the end of the time, we have this narration again from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the end times, lying Antichrist will come, who will bring you a hadith and narrations that neither you nor your fathers have heard. So be careful that they do not deceive you or mislead you.
أهدى سنه مهديون في الأزمان شع ضيه ربنا في العالمين أضفع له نور أليق والظالم ابتدوا من أجل السالك أهدى سنه.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is The Last Savior. We're having a look at the hadith about Dajjal, and Dr. Ali Alavi is illuminating us with knowledge. Yes, Dr. Ali.
Yes, again, in another hadith, again, has been narrated from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that says, before the Dajjal appears, more than 70 Dajjal will appear. Oh. So it's going to be a person, a group of people. So I want to say that I can make a sort of conclusion that includes all of these ahadith.
Yeah.
So why Isa alayhi salam has been mentioned in these ahadith? Because this is my own understanding and interpretation of the narrations. It is not having anything to do with the words of the scholars or words of the language of a hadith. I want to say that the Dajjal by itself could be a movement, not a person. And this hegemonic power that we are saying that it comes from the West today, it is, I mean, a sort of, let's say, an image of this Dajjal that we are talking about.
It also seems a kind of AI, I guess.
AI could be, I mean, among one of the tools that this Dajjal is using. When we are talking about hegemonic power, so one of the elements of this power is what you mentioned here, AI. So I want to say this fake power or falsehood that this hegemonic power is trying to inject in the whole world and to keep his domination all different parts of the world in order to keep all the worlds as slaves of its.
Yeah.
Right? Again, moreover, it will be annihilated and killed by whom? By Imam, at the time of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. By whom? By Jesus the Christ. Because Jesus will come at the time of arrival of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And they claim to be the followers of Jesus.
Yeah. Right?
Since they believe that they are, if you look at the words and the speeches of these people who are there, they always try to put themselves as the followers of Jesus, right? So what is the relationship between this Dajjal, Jesus, and so it will be annihilated and killed and finished at the time of Mahdi. That's true. It is quite related to Mahdawiyah and the concept of the last savior. So he tried to put the people as the slave. He made lots of oppressions and tyranny over the people in the course of history.
Yeah.
And this is the peak of this oppression that we see that West is doing over the people, either in East or West.
Yeah.
Right? No part of the world is free from the oppression that West is making.
Yes.
But Allah wants to do this revenge from their own prophet that they claim that they are its followers. When? At the time of the arrival of Muhammad alayhi salam.
Right.
So this is my own understanding that the Dajjal is not necessarily a person, because all these things cannot happen by a person who is going to use magic, because magic in front of the reality of Allah's power is nothing.
Yes.
Even they themselves, I mean this power, this falsehood that, or this wrongdoing that is propagating itself is nothing in front of Allah's power, since they have dominated their power and they have dominated their will over different parts of the world and different countries and different people are automatically becoming their slaves.
Yes.
So Imam alayhi salam, since he's going to bring back justice and equity among the people, he sends Isa alayhi salam, or he uses the opportunity of Prophet Isa alayhi salam, or Jesus, to remove this from the sin of the earth.
Right.
Since they claim him as their own prophet, and he will be the one that, inshallah, hopefully, will cut the roots of all these.
Be that a moment, be that an entity, or be that a human.
That's it. We are going to wrap all our discussions up here about Dajjal and say that, okay, this concept of Dajjal could be interpreted in this way. It could be the false power of falsehood that has enslaved people in the course of history, and the peak of this oppression seems at the end of the time, namely at the time that Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is going to appear.
Right. Thank you so much, Dr. Alavi, for being with us and again illuminating us with more knowledge. And thank you, dear listeners, for being patient and for listening to the IRIB English Radio. Until another episode, take good care. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Welcome to the Israel Watch, which has been monitoring the repercussions of the ongoing aggression against Lebanon and its impact on the settlers in the north. It also examines the return of the northern settlers amid continued violations of the Gaza Agreement, renewed air and ground attacks on Gaza, missiles launched from Yemen, and internal protests against Netanyahu, and other key topics for commentators and analysts in Hebrew media. We discuss these issues with Mr. Ali Rizek, security and political analyst here joining us. Thank you very much for joining us in this episode.
Thank you.
Given the recent Israeli escalation, it appears that Netanyahu administration's policy of resettling settlers has suffered a setback. Settlers have confirmed that they will not return due to what has happened and what may still happen, as they do not feel secure in the settlements. How do you expect the situation to actually unfold on the Lebanese-Israeli border?
I think that at the start, when these five rockets were launched, we saw the Israeli disproportionate response. It was way more than what actually took place. It was a very excessive reaction.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there were fears at the start that this might lead to an all-out war similar to the one which we saw during the September-November period of last year. It appears, fortunately, that that scenario has not actually taken place.
Mm-hmm.
And we did hear reports that President Joseph Aoun received some guarantees from the Americans.
But they reached to Sur. I mean, they reached to Tyre. Not only to areas at the borders, they extended.
Yeah, they did extend. But again, it's not the full-fledged war which we saw in that period after the assassination of Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah. So it appears up until now.
You think it ended there?
I think it's ended in terms
as
of
a reaction for the for launching the five rockets.
In terms of having a limited scope war, it's like the Israelis, I don't think they're going to enter a full-scale war, but I think that these pinpoint attacks, like we saw yesterday even, in Ait al-Shaab, these are going to continue. So the security intelligence war, which Israel has waged against Hezbollah, and we have to admit, this type of warfare, they have achieved some significant successes, the Israelis, assassination, security warfare, and I think they're going to continue.
And that's the message that they want to send across, in your opinion? They just want to say this is a retaliation? Or there are other messages that to send, that we are always willing to break the borders and break the rules and enter?
Israel is waiting for any opportunity, any excuse to escalate even further. What happened, by the way, with these 5 rockets, this is not the first time that such incidents happen. Even before October 7, we used to see these rockets and missiles landing in open areas. Mm-hmm. Israel would initiate a very limited response.
But this time it extended.
This time it escalated because it believes that the momentum, the strength is on its side after what happened. And so I think that this security war is going to continue by the Israelis.
Okay.
Now, in the long term, I think that the Israelis are making a great mistake, because what this is doing is it's actually weakening the Lebanese state.
Exactly, because the Lebanese state is at the front
President
lines.
President Joseph Aoun, Prime Minister Nawaf Salam.
And that's what Hezbollah said. Hezbollah said that this is the responsibility of the Lebanese government to actually secure the borders and take the necessary decisions. Okay. However, the Hat Shmona settlement council, located on the Lebanese border, confirmed that the return of settlers has become difficult after rockets were fired from southern Lebanon. How big of an issue is this for Israel domestically, Ali? Because we have seen the massive protests over there, and also obviously these settlers are unable to return to the settlements, no matter what justifications or qualifications or all the things that the government sends to them.
Netanyahu already has his fair share of problems with the dismissal of the Shin Bet chief. That's led to an uproar amongst a significant segment of the Israeli settlers. There are various issues. Netanyahu is also being accused of running a dictatorship, autocracy, etc.
Corruption.
This is going to further increase the domestic front against him. Now, I'm not saying that the majority of the Israelis are against him. I'm saying there's a significant segment that is against him. One important thing when we see such reports, this dispels the notion that because often, especially in Western mainstream media, what is said is that Israel has made very big achievements, it's dealt very strong blows, etc. These kinds of issues aren't shed light on in the Western mainstream media. So I think this reveals, it gives us a more accurate picture of what is taking place. And it isn't necessarily that rosy scenario which some people make it out to be. And for Netanyahu in particular, because as we know, Netanyahu's reputation before October 7 used to be Mr. Security. That was his strength, which he used to distinguish himself.
And now many, as you're highlighting, are going to the streets and doubting that strength, doubting that character.
Exactly. So I think this will add to the domestic dilemma that Netanyahu is facing. Now, is that going to have some dramatic repercussions? Will it lead, for example, to his downfall? That, I think, that remains.
But you highlighted that there are majority of the Israelis still support Benjamin Netanyahu, despite all these protests that we're actually highlighting.
There is a large segment.
And we're seeing, because these are the largest in the history of Israel till now.
There is a large segment who do support Netanyahu. Yes, the Israeli settlers, or quote unquote Israeli society, they've been drifting to the right.
Yes.
Continuously increasing.
Even domestically, even the people, not only the government, you're saying.
Indeed. Now, that's not necessarily, by the way, it might be good for Netanyahu at this time, but it's not good for Israel in the long term. Because I think that if this trend continues, Israel is going to resemble, I think it already does, resemble South Africa apartheid.
Yes.
And we know what happened to South Africa in the end. In the end, the apartheid regime was dismantled. Now, what the Israelis had an advantage, which the South Africans didn't have, the white South Africans, is that white South Africa didn't have an Israeli lobby or a pro-South Africa lobby in Washington like the Israelis
had. And didn't have an open agenda of support by the Americans also.
Exactly. So I think that in the end, in order for there to be a real collapse, because a lot of people speak about Israel approaching collapse, etc., I think that day will come. Most probably when the Americans seize their support for the Israelis.
Okay.
And I don't see the Americans seizing their support for the Israelis. One thing which might happen is that the Americans are going to have more pressing priorities which overweigh or more important for them. Like, for example, China is more important for America than protecting Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So the more we enter.
But up till now, we do not see that. We've seen a massive support for the Israelis and a lot of attention given to the files of the Israelis. And the biggest proof is the protection of Israelis against Yemen.
Exactly, yep.
And
so
launching
that,
the open
that time
war.
Still
okay.
hasn't come yet.
Yes. Israeli social media platforms reacted to the aggressive escalation against Lebanon. Here are some of the comments from Zionist activists.
Yuri Tsifan. There is one thing that should be clear after the war with Lebanon. We must not entrust our security to others. History teaches us that Jewish settlements should only act based on facts on the ground and ensure security accordingly. What applies to the Galilee and the Golan also applies to Lebanon. Matty Gill. We must act wisely and proactively toward Lebanon. There is an opportunity to bring it into the Abraham Accords. George Heskin. The most important question today is whether the security arrangements they reached will allow Hezbollah to recover and regain its capabilities within 2 or 3 years.
What stood out for you in these comments, Sadi, when you look at the social life of these Israelis?
This just takes me back to what we were just discussing, mm-hmm. that Netanyahu enjoys support. I think a lot of these comments appear to be in sync or consistent with the general approach taken by the Netanyahu government.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken, there was a reference to normalization
yes.
between Lebanon and Israel.
Obviously, even the society is pushing for it, not only the Israeli government.
Exactly. I think that's pretty far to be a normalization between the
Why?
Lebanese and the Israelis. Israel remains an enemy of the Lebanese state.
But there are a lot of voices, domestic voices inside Lebanon, domestically speaking, that they want that to happen.
Well, there are domestic voices. I don't think that these domestic voices represent the majority.
Okay.
I think that the majority, it's clear that they don't support such acts. If that were to happen, if there was going to be a normalization.
Well, obviously, that's the dream of the some
Israelis.
That's
going to lead to some very, very severe domestic strife, I think, within Lebanon
within
itself
Lebanon.
And very sharp divisions.
Yes.
I don't think, by the way, that President Joseph Aoun in any way whatsoever is supportive of any kind of normalization, despite the fact that he is supported by the Americans and he came to the presidency upon the approval order.
Because also it's against the Constitution at one
It's
point.
Against the Constitution.
Okay.
There's been too much bloodshed
yes.
by Israel for that to happen.
Okay. Moving on to Gaza, where a former Israeli army spokesperson warned against waging a full-scale war against Hamas in Gaza before securing the release of the captives. Is this true? Is Israel actually strengthening Hamas without realizing, in your own opinion? Because here the host actually asked him, Hamas feeds on the humanitarian aids and humanitarian aid and are not allowed to enter to Gaza.
I think it is strengthening Hamas, the Israeli approach in general. And I think that the more we see the Israeli politicians or the political elite shifting to the right, and the more this is translated into extreme policies, the more that is going to strengthen Hamas. I think that an important phenomenon is that the rise of figures like Ben-Gavir and Smotrich,
yes.
that undermines the traditional parties which were relied upon to broker peace or to make peace, like the Palestinian Authority.
Mm-hmm.
So the rise of the right wing, that strengthens the resistance and
okay.
it undermines the so-called moral
okay.
players or the moderate, sorry, mm-hmm. players like the PA. So it is undermining.
Why? Because it's rising a lot of voices that is supportive of Hamas against this Israeli extremism that you're highlighting.
Not just that. The Israeli extremists, even verbally, they say we don't want any role for the PA. We want to expand the settlements. So even verbally, they don't pledge to reaching any settlement or any accommodation
yes.
with the Palestinians. That weakens the Palestinian Authority, because the Palestinian Authority's approach is let's try to deal with the situation through negotiation.
Politically.
Through talk.
Yes.
With these kinds of people, with all Israelis it doesn't work, but especially with these kinds of right wing who are not ready in any way and who have a very narrow ideological approach.
And they're not
it.
Even accepting a two-state solution negotiations. They're not even accepting mediators to actually move forward and come up with reasonable results for both sides. To that extent, you're highlighting.
Yeah, and there's another factor. We heard Antony Blinken, the former American Secretary of State, he said that the number of people Hamas has recruited equals the number of people it has lost
mm-hmm.
during the
and
war.
During the war
during
or during the ceasefire, the
no,
temporary
no, no,
ceasefire?
No, during the war, the
okay.
15-month war.
Okay.
So that's also another factor. I think that due to the excessive violence and massacres, people now, the Palestinian masses, they're becoming more supportive
of the resistance. Yes.
Yeah, and the same, I think, can be applied to Hezbollah, by the way.
Yes. Moving on to the Yemeni front, the missiles striking deep into occupied Israeli territory are causing panic among Israelis and confusion within the occupation authorities, which have turned to the Americans for a response against Yemen. How successful do you think the Trump administration strikes on Yemen have been so far?
Obviously, they've been unsuccessful. They failed miserably. We've seen that the Yemenis are escalating. Now they're targeting Ben-Gurion,
yes.
And we're also seeing American aircraft carriers come under fire. I think that the Trump administration might be underestimating the ideological resolve of the Ansar Allah movement.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that out of all the players in the axis of resistance, the one which is most ideologically devoted or committed are the Ansar Allah. Mm-hmm. And this poses a real dilemma
for
the Americans.
Yes, but some actually American officials, they're highlighting that these strikes have been very effective. In fact, they have been targeting very important locations, and they have been targeting also Yemeni officials.
I heard that there was one senior Yemeni official or Ansar Allah figure who was assassinated. I'm not sure how credible that particular report is, but it's no surprise the Trump administration is going to try and promote this idea that we're being successful, we're deterring, etc. They're also going to try and say what we're doing is much more than what the Biden administration used to
do. Yes, and
this is
in
something
a competition.
Which Trump always focuses on, trying to say that he is better than his predecessors. So I wouldn't take these statements quite seriously. And by the way, there are even some Western experts who are saying that without boots on the ground, you can't stop the attacks from Yemen. And I'm quite sure that the Americans aren't ready to put boots on the ground.
For a ground incursion. Okay. Yemeni missiles targeting the Israeli entity have sparked reactions among Zionist activists on social media. Here are some of their comments.
Noam Nissen: with every Houthi alert at midnight, we will set the clock back by half an hour. Raya: the Houthis are back to triggering midnight alarms. What a setback for Israel. Yiftach Dayan: what a man. Trump is bombing the Houthis. Will this solve the problem that the war Saudi Arabia has been waging against Yemen for years couldn't fix?
Ali Rizab, a security and political analyst, thank you very much for joining us in this episode.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Tour the pit.
On Youth Station.
Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all.
Drive careful on this road called life, because people will switch lanes on you without a signal. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, this is another episode of Youth Station. Thank you for joining us. This is IRIB English Radio. I'm Asma.
And this is Nahid, having the honor of being with you.
Thank you very much. Well, it's all the same. How much do you respect other people's opinion? That's a very straight question.
Yeah, what a hard question. How much do I respect? I respect their opinions.
Yeah.
Totally, 100%. But how much I accept them, this is the point at which the story gets a little challenging.
Yeah, as for me, I hope none of them are listening to this, but I guess I would have the same perspective.
Yeah.
Like, I may listen,
mm-hmm.
but I may not act
I may hear,
accordingly.
But I may not listen.
Yeah. So, you know, there's this notion that recently many people keep repeating that. I do not believe in it so much. Like, they say that all the ideas and opinions are respected. No, come on. They're not respected.
To the extent that they do not get insulted. Like, they do not insult.
Not just insult.
Police.
You see, this phase is very perplexing and very mixing. And, you know, there are paradoxical ideas getting together,
right.
trying to
prove themselves to be the right idea. You know, everything is getting mixed. Yeah. Like, they try to break the binary oppositions of good and bad. Like, who says this is bad? I mean, come on. The bad is clear. The good is clear. Even God himself in his holy book tells us that I have given human beings the good and bad.
Yeah, I have shown you.
Yeah. The road is there. I have shown you. All you have to do is to pick. Yeah, which one exactly. You like the most. So why do you try to bring justifications to yourself in order just to prove that, okay, what I believe in is right? This is first thing first,
yeah,
that we have to deal with. Like, the good and bad based on God's recommendations and based on God's instructions and based on Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam's narrations are clarified for us. Mm-hmm. So we already know what is good and what is bad, what is respected and what is not respected. And then also, there we have the idea that not all people's ideas are respected. We have already seen that. Like, there are many tyrants out there. Are their ideas accepted?
No.
No.
Nor accepted,
no.
Neither respected.
Exactly. The same goes on in relationships. Like, there are some people who are very much domineering. They don't have to control everything in my life. I shouldn't actually let them control any detail of my life. So what is the discussion? What is the topic of our today's discussion? Is the notion that other people, they have impact on me to the extent that they would change my road, my journey. This is too much. Too very yeah. much.
And it is hard. Like, how would I let other people influence? Of course, some people do. Like, the nearest ones. Mm-hmm. Of course, my parents have played a major role in the place I am standing right now.
The story of parents are different, yeah. though, to some extent. I would give them the right to.
Yeah. Let's say close friends.
Yeah.
We get to be acting like our friends. We change little by little.
They change us.
Yeah. The closer we get, the yeah. more in touch we are. And the more we get affected by each other.
Exactly. Yeah, that's very true. And it's, I guess, we cannot deny it.
No.
We have to remember this fact. I always mention this, and I guess this is very important. Each individual has got a personality. Each individual is a book that has to inspire others to read it.
Yeah.
Not a book that has to be written by others. I, myself, as a personality, as an individual, I have to write my own story with my own decisions. Yes, you as a friend might have an impact on me, but when you come to impose your ideas on me, then I guess that's the parting point.
Yeah, this is the place in which you have to draw the line.
Yeah, it's the departure point.
Yeah.
We have to keep that in mind. Now, this is the setting for a discussion. This is what we're going to talk about. We go for a break and then we come back.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
So, to what extent to let other people influence our lives? Mm-hmm. This is a tricky, hard question to yeah. ask. But if right now, like, I was comparing my life with the people around me, with the ones that can affect me. As a teacher, I have many students around who are like teenagers or even younger or older, these ages. And I can see the way they are getting affected by their friends and the way they are influenced by literally everything. Mm-hmm. They change their mindset with opening one page, one
exactly,
social media
yeah.
page.
With just one sentence yeah. written by a celebrity. Yeah,
like how can we get aligned really with the situation in which, as a parent, I have raised a son, a daughter, I have taught her or him everything, and now he or she is just getting tricked, is falling in the trap of one social media page, I don't know, one website, one platform, one sentence, or yeah. a friend.
Even a book, a wrong
yeah,
book.
Exactly.
Like, not all the books and not all the knowledge out there are good for you to yeah. go
even for us Yes, this can happen. The reason I'm just naming those like teenagers and younger people is that they are much more exposed to
prone to it.
Exactly.
Yeah. They're more inclined to get impact. When you get older, because it's even if we call it the matter of pride or the matter of dignity, even for the sake of that, you're not going to get impacted by the other people.
Yeah, trusting will be harder.
Yeah, trust issues and problems. Well, you know, psychologically speaking, there are many reasons for that, like for people getting impacted by other people. First of all, we have this concept of magnetic characters. There are some people who are so charismatic. If you get impacted by them, I guess you have every right to, because they have this magnetic character that would attract you to themselves. Like, for example, imagine in our religion, you go to, you have a course with a scholar who is so, so knowledgeable, so perfect, and at the same time charismatic.
Yeah.
So how could you just resist not getting touched by these people? It's good in this occasion because they're going to help you get better.
Yeah, the character of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, the role models, the perfect people who are Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, are always the best role models to get impacted by.
Yeah.
But the problem is, in today's world, unfortunately, we go for celebrities. Now, these celebrities have got their own traumas. You know, they're like just like us. So how a person just like me is going to have impact on me?
Be my role model to the extent that she or he can have impacts on me.
And, you know, the ideology, it's very important. You know, what is ideology?
Exactly.
Ideology is set of beliefs and creeds that some people in power would like me to have. This is...
It's kind of their business.
It's kind of their business. But when it comes to the religious ideology, it's totally different. Like, it comes from a holy source. It comes from a divine, a spiritual source that is the source of my existence. So this one is reliable because I know there is no benefit. What God would take as benefit for me?
Yeah, here the purpose is all your improvement.
Exactly.
I was too proud to see the truth and prostrate to you until I took the first step. And that's when you opened the doors for me. Now, Allah, I realize what I was missing by being far from you.
Why I said parents are different, because parents are the only people, perhaps, you know, the normal parents that we're talking about, not the exceptions, because, you know, in today's world, we've seen many of the parents who are so much conceited about themselves.
Yeah, they not, do not care about
they
their
do
future,
not care.
Their children.
But as for the normal sketch of a parent who are so selfless, who are so giving, they would care for our future. So what they say is purely for me, myself. And they're talking from the perspective of a person who's experienced and who wishes all the best for me.
Yeah.
But then for other people, there are some complications. Because sometimes as a co-worker in a place, maybe the other person is trying to victimize you. Maybe your friend is trying to be domineering. Maybe they're trying to create a doll out of you. A person, a puppet.
Yeah, and here you need to be aware. You need to... While we like to be with the other people, we like to socialize with them. Sometimes the person seems to have an attractive personality. Mm-hmm. But here we need to make the decision.
Yeah. And then I was just talking about that from that psychological factors we came into here. Sometimes people have this fear of rejection. When you are in a community, you very much would love. Again, in this occasion also, it depends on your personality. Some people do not care what the community is saying. Like, let's look back in history. For all the scientists, for all the writers, for all the poets, all the greatest scholars, they were not, generally speaking, I'm not getting into exceptions, because there were some exceptions who were loved by the communities they lived in. But for the majority of the examples, they were rejected by society. Not only they were rejected, but they also were accused of being, I don't know, dumb people, stupid people that have been accused for being, I don't know, different, you know, different names.
Exactly.
Different things with different conspiracy theory sort of stories behind them. People always try to boycott them or try to ignore them.
Yeah, exactly.
But then what happened was that they, even one single individual, mm-hmm. turned into great influencers.
Yeah.
They changed the whole course of history. They invented things. They brought about some great theories. And they changed maybe, you know, if you go for sociology, if you go for economy, if you go for science, we have great scholars in each one of them.
Yeah, but in the past, they were much rarer. Like
yeah.
one person we could have found during, I don't know, a decade, that person was the life-saving, life-changing one. But these days, I think one of the other problems is rooted in this fact that today we have many of the influencers, many of the celebrities around. And
yeah.
we are just like in danger of falling into being the victim of their stories.
And the problem is, unfortunately, they wear masks. And
yeah.
the masks are so beautiful and enchanting.
Yeah.
As I told you, they're so magnetic. But you have to remember, the thing that would distinguish the truth for you, that would illustrate on the fact whether they are right or wrong,
yeah.
is God and the narrations of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. God has made everything clarified
for you. Guidance is available.
Exactly. Whoever who comes to cheat you by slogans related to, I don't know, all these beautiful slogans that everybody is using nowadays, you have to bring it into the Islamic perspective and see that through those magnifiers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, the tools that they have given you.
Yeah, definitely.
And then you filterize whatever that gets into your brain to recognize whether it is right or wrong. So I guess this would be the conclusion that do not let people live your life or write the course, the journey of your life for you. It's your life, you're the writer, you're the director, you're everything. Except for other characters who come into your story, who are actually the guest of honors.
Yeah, exactly.
Let them just be the guest of honors. That's it.
Yeah, they're not going to influence you. They're not going
exactly.
to change your way
Do
of life.
Do not make them the main leads of your story.
Yeah.
You are the main lead.
And the hero.
The hero, yeah. That's it. I hope you have just enjoyed it. Well, time flies so fast when we're here. And this is the ending point.
I'm sure about our listeners who are aware enough of the tricks and the traps around. So with the best wishes for you and the people who are around you and those who can influence you in the good way, let's end today's episode and wassalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I will tell you, dear youth, that the future belongs to you. By Allah's favor, you dear youth will see that day and you will hand down your sources of pride to the future generations. Greetings. Be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings.
And inshallah, we will continue talking about
this. We'll discuss that inshallah in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And don't go away.
We will continue this very essential topic with our great youth.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is iranradio.ir. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Mahdi Rastani.
Tonight, inshallah, we want to take some time to delve into the justice of Ali ibn Abi Talib. So he heard in some of his letters, he heard that one of his own governors by the name of Uthman ibn Hunayf has been invited to a luxurious gathering. Now, a gathering that has really good food, for a normal person might be fine, yes? But for the governor, he's not allowed to go. This is based on the rules of Ali. You're not allowed to go, except he went. He wrote in this letter, Yabna Hunayf, I've heard that you go to these luxurious gatherings. And in these luxurious gatherings, they're the type of gatherings who, by the way, only the wealthy are allowed to come. The poor are not allowed to come. And there are foods of all sorts and so on and so forth, lavish. He said, Yabna Hunayf, everyone has a leader they look up to. Everyone has a standard that they go by. Let me tell you what my standard is. Ala, no, wa inna imamakum, know that your imam, qad iktafa, he eats 2 dates a day. And he eats a loaf of bread a day. If you can't apply justice, you're not supposed to be in this position. He went on and on. The letter is a long letter. Harsh statements from Ali. Harsh. You know what he ended the letter with? He ended the letter with this. He said, Yabna Hunayf, O son of Hunayf, let the loaves of bread be enough for you and let those loaves of bread protect you from the hellfire. Don't go on taking from the Baytul Mal of Muslimin and adding it to your own wealth. He said, let the loaves of bread protect you from hellfire. And when he was putting Malik ibn Ashtar in charge, yes, of the land of Egypt. The land of Egypt, of course, is a civilization of its own. It's a place of its own. There were fights over who was going to be the governor of Egypt, yes. He sent Malik Ashtar, long, long letter, yes. Inshallah, one time we'll have a series on that letter. Long letter. In the letter, he said, Malik, now that I'm putting you in charge and you're going there, over time, you will start to feel some power and authority in yourself because you're not ruling over some little village. There were smaller places Ali gave to Kumail and he gave to these other people. For Egypt, he gave it to Malik Ashtar. He sent back his own son. Yes? Muhammad ibn Hanafiya. The Imam sent him back. He said, no, you can't take care of this. This is too serious. He sent him back. His son was surprised. Why? What, did I do something wrong? The Imam wrote to him. He said, you didn't do anything wrong. It's just out of your ability to manage something like this. Misr, Egypt, is not a small thing. He wrote to Malik. He said, Malik, when you go there, over time, you will find an ubuha inside of yourself. Slowly over time, you'll feel like you're somebody. And he said, remember, Malik, when you feel like you're somebody, remember there's someone above you who's more of a somebody than you are. These are the lines you and I have to remember when we do injustice to our own household and our own relatives. The Prophet said, اتَّقِ دَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ. Stay away. Be fearful of the dua of the one who's been wronged, the one who has been oppressed. فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٌ. There's no barrier between his dua and God. And I can tell you for sure sometimes that mazloom is in our own house. I can tell you for sure. Sometimes that mazloom that the narration is talking about is in your own house. He wrote to Malik. He said, Malik, when you go, know that there's someone watching above you. In some of his other letters to his governors, he writes, he says, listen, when you go, you have to constantly send me reports because I am watching you. And then Ali said this, he said, and no, there's someone that's watching me. He said, I'll ask for you to send your reports, but no, there's someone watching me too, let alone you. So Qanbar says, I came to the house of Ali. And I found whatever of the wealth people send to Ali, the only thing Ali does, he takes a look at it. The only question he asks is, how are we supposed to divide this amongst people? That's the only thing he asks. He never asks, how much am I going to get? So Qanbar says, you know what? I thought one day, this time when they send some of this wealth, I'll bring it into the house myself. I'll keep it for Ali. So that at least he can walk away with something himself. The narrations say he used to divide things and then people used to come and ask for his own share. He used to give his own share. So I said, I will keep some of this. He brought some of the silver, some of the darahim. He brought some of the dinars into the house. He came to Ali. He said, Ya Ali, come, I have something wonderful for you. And Ali said, what is it that you have for me? He said, Qum Ya Ali, come, come, I just want to show you. Come. So he stood up and he took the hands of Ali. And Ali following him. And they went into the room and all of a sudden Ali saw these bags full of money, full of silver and gold coins. And he said, Ya Ali, I brought these because you never hold on to anything for yourself. And Ali said, I'd rather have my house be on fire than to have Baytul Mal, the rights of others, being trampled because of me. The narration says he took out his sword, he slashed these bags, and the gold coins and the silver coins fell on the ground in front of Qanbar and in front of Ali. And then Ali said a line no one else in history has ever said, no one else in history other than a ma'soom will ever say. He looked at the gold coins. He said, Ghurri ghairi, go and trick somebody else. You're not going to trick me. He looked at the silver coins. He said, Ya Bayza, go trick somebody else. Ghurri ghairi, you're not going to trick me. He turned to Qanbar. He said, this is how you're going to divide this wealth. And even that final wealth that Ali had, he divided as well. And this is why Ali was this character that was full of virtues. Anytime he walked, his close companions who understood who Ali was, they just wanted to look at Ali. That's how beautiful this character was. The narration says he came into the masjid, he was praying. Abu Dhar was with us in the masjid. We saw Abu Dhar doesn't take his eyes off of Ali. Everything Ali does, he's looking at Ali. We looked at Abu Dhar, we said, why are you doing this? He's just here to pray. You won't lift your eyes from him. He said, you don't know, my Habib, my beloved, he was talking about the Prophet. He said, my Habib told me, looking at four things is ibadah. One of them is the Kaaba. When you see the Kaaba, yes, you look at it, it is ibadah for you. One of them is the Mus'haf of the Quran. When you open the Quran, you look at it, this is ibadah. The third of them is your own parents. If you look at them with kindness, this is ibadah. And he said the fourth of them that the Prophet said was wajhu Ali, in the face of Ali. He said, the Prophet told me, if you just look at the face of Ali, this is who Ali was. When they told him, some of your companions have left you, they've gone, they've joined the side of Muawiyah. You know what Ali said? Ali said, that's fine. They saw all of justice and they still walked away. Let them go. I don't need them anymore.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا
Andrew Irving.
Knowing neither the enemy nor yourself, you will succumb in every battle.
Let's see that backwards.
Kyrie Andrew Irving was born on March 23, 1992, in Melbourne, Australia. When he was just 2 years old, his family migrated to New Jersey, the United States. Kyrie lost his mother when he was 4 years old. His father had to raise him with the help of his sister. Kyrie started his professional basketball career in 2010 with the Duke Blue Devils basketball team at his university. Only 1 year was enough for his exceptional talent to catch the eyes of coaches in the professional American league known as the NBA.
My mom passed away when I was young, so my dad had to raise my sister and I alone. He was a great player. He even tried out for Boston once.
Irving's rise to stardom in the NBA began with the Cleveland Cavaliers, a team that had previously hosted stars like LeBron James. His brilliance was such that by the end of the season, he won the NBA Rookie of the Year award. This award is given annually by the National Basketball Association to the most successful rookie player in each season.
With the first pick in the 2011 NBA Draft, the Cleveland Cavaliers select Kyrie Irving from Duke University.
Irving plays in the point guard position. The Cleveland Cavaliers set a record with 26 consecutive losses in the 2010-2011 season, the longest losing streak among NBA teams. However, this same team won the NBA championship for the first time in 2016. One of Irving's masterpieces dates back to the 2016 finals in the game against a great Golden State Warriors team. In the crucial and final seconds, with the game tied 89 apiece, he made a beautiful three-point shot, leading the Cavaliers to their first historic championship, a moment that gained worldwide fame.
Hey!
Lakers are NBA champions. The drought is over. The curse destroyed. 52 years of torment and anguish has been washed away.
Following this success, the Boston Celtics acquired Irving. The prestigious team with 17 championships is the second most successful team in the NBA after the Los Angeles Lakers. Kyrie shined for 2 years with the Celtics, thrilling the stadium with his amazing moves in every game. He then joined the Brooklyn Nets. Now, at 32 years old, Kyrie Irving plays for the Dallas Mavericks. He's considered one of the best current NBA players and one of the best in the world. He is especially known for his dribbling skills, particularly the crossover move. Irving is often referred to as the best dribbler in NBA history. Some also regard him as the best shooter on earth. In one game, a commentator, impressed by Irving's extraordinary moves, even described him as non-human and possessing superhuman abilities. Irving has many fans worldwide due to his playing style and is even popular in video games. He has over 20 million followers on Instagram. In recent years, changes in Irving's behavior and demeanor have led to rumors about him, rumors suggesting that Kyrie Irving has changed his religion. However, it is still uncertain what religion he has converted to.
Welcome back to Boston. As you can see, the sun is setting here officially at 7:31 p.m. Showing you an assistant coach for the Celtics pointing to their watch, probably indicating that very thing. Kyrie Irving going to the back. Now, we all know that he has fasted in the past. He has said publicly he wants to keep things private about his Ramadan observance. But I will tell you this. If he is fasting, he had to wait till sunset before he could intake any food or liquid. And as we just told you, sunset just passed. It's been 13 hours and 36 minutes.
Speculations continued, and day by day, new and clearer signs of Irving's chosen religion emerged. Finally, in 2021, Kyrie Irving officially announced in a press conference that he had converted to Islam. Irving responded to a basketball reporter's question about how he could fast and play professional sports at the same time.
Well, it's a journey with God, and I'm not alone in this. I have brothers and sisters all around the world that are fasting with me. We hold our prayers and our meditations very sacred. And when you come out here, I mean, God's inside me, God's inside you, God's inside all of us. So I'm walking with faith, and that's all that matters. And when I get a chance to do this in this type of arena, and showcase my talents that have been granted to me strictly from God, I'm humbled.
For a star, it doesn't matter what position they are in. They shine in any case. In addition to professional sports, Irving has also shown his talent in the field of cinema, just like Eric Cantona, the French football star. In 2012, Irving played the role of Uncle Drew in a famous commercial film. Later, in 2015, he wrote and directed the script for the role himself. The commercial film received so much attention that eventually, in 2017, a feature film with the same name, Uncle Drew, was made in Hollywood in the comedy genre. Irving and several NBA basketball stars acted in this film. In addition to Uncle Drew, Irving has also acted in several other films and TV series, such as Kick It. Irving even ventured into voice acting at one point. In an episode of the animated series We Bare Bears, he voiced his own character. Irving may have a special talent for acting, but he has shown that his inclination towards Islam is by no means superficial. When in Ramadan 2021, the Israeli regime bombed the fasting people of Gaza, as in previous years, only a few